In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Wow, time has gotten by. I intend to, at the end of our sermon time, to have communion. Normally we have communion prior to the sermon, but I want to give you the sermon now. I had Richard posted as soul food that's so good for you, but I'm not so sure that's the right title. Probably a title that would give it more explanation is there's more to communion, and I want to tell you, and there's a bunch of you out there, you know it all. Yeah, I just come kind of critique old Pastor Peters, you know. I don't know why the Lord puts up with him. You don't think I don't recognize those attitudes that are out there all the time. But I tell you, when you start thinking you know it all, that's just when you know you don't know it all. Amen? And I have been listening to and speaking on communion talk for a long time, and for some reason the Lord just suddenly just opened things up to me. More on communion. I have told you before that if you will start when you come across a scripture you don't know. Now, this isn't going to work for some of you that know it all. But I know this preacher, he doesn't. And he'll come across a scripture and he just doesn't quite understand it. But if you'll follow this pattern, now I've followed it for years, I'll just say, Lord, what does this mean? Now, I've been asking the meaning of 3 John verse 2, a fuller understanding of the meaning of it, for I think for now going on a year and a half, I've kind of run it by some different ones, and I pray this, and I've been praying it for you that I pastor, and this is what it says, 3 John 2, I think it is. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. Notice it doesn't stop there. Yes, it says, and I want you to know, I pray this, that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. There's a whole lot to that passage. I want you to prosper and be in good health in all respects. And this prosperity in all respects, about a year ago, the Lord taught me real good about health and prosperity. And I don't say that I got it all figured out. But there was something I needed to do, and I couldn't do it. And I had to give about, I realized I'd been able to have the ability of my body to do that all my life. And suddenly, I realized, man, I'd give everything I had, you see. Now, I want some of you to know that you've got prosperity in all respects. Some of it, you just don't know how prosperous you are. Amen? But that scripture talks about health and prosperity in regards to our soul. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I called the preacher that was instrumental in converting me. He baptized me. I'm sure he was surprised to hear from me, because I can remember way back there as a young Christian, him teaching about the soul. And as I've been looking into this thing of the word soul, and as we go into this series, and this is going to be a series. Now, I'm giving you part one today, and I'm sure there'll probably be three parts to it. But as we go into this series, I'm going to talk more about the soul, because that is a word that is no simple word to understand. If you go to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, you'll find a page about like this that is full of different aspects concerning the soul. I called the old preacher up, and now he's an old preacher now. I'm not. I'm preaching prime. I'm not claiming old on this deal. But I called that old preacher, and I said, hey, would you like to teach a preacher the way of the Lord more accurately? I said, you remember you taught this about the soul and so forth and so on? And he finally, by the time I got done questioning, had to admit that, well, he wasn't quite right on that. He hadn't thought too much more about it, and I could tell that he didn't really think that there was a whole lot more to be worried about it. Strong's would kind of have you believe that soul and spirit are kind of one and the same interchangeably. It's not that way. But I want you to know the way it is. Your soul, its prosperity, has something to do with your health and your financial prosperity. And I want you to know that communion, the Lord has revealed it to me, is soul food. It's food that has to do with your soul being healthy. Can you receive that? That's how we'll introduce it. Some time back, this preacher talked about the full spectrum of salvation. That there's more to salvation than, and I hate to say it this way, than just being saved from our sins, because that's no small matter. But it gets even better when you begin to look. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we'll look at that first of all, because I don't want to downplay the fact that that great event that took place at the cross. Now, communion has to do with what took place at the cross. It has to do with our spiritual cleansing and healing and salvation. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read, He made him who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what does that mean? It means this. You're looking at a very righteous man. You say, how dare you to say that? You got a high opinion of yourself. No, I'm just telling you the truth. That there is at the cross an exchange that took place, that takes place. He took my filthy rags of sin upon him. And in exchange, I got his righteousness imputed to me. Does that make sense? Now, that part of salvation is understood, praise God, at least I think it is, to a great extent by the churches today. But I got good news for you. That is good news, but there's a whole lot more news, good news to be said concerning this spectrum of salvation. He not only took our sins upon him, but it says, and we read in Isaiah 53, starting with verse 4, that he took something else as well. Now you say, what's this got to do with communion? You stay with me, because it has everything in the world to do with communion. It says this, we read, surely our griefs he himself bore. I'm going to stop there a second, leave it on the screen, and I want you to know that that word griefs means sickness. You can just write that in your Bible right there. Surely our sicknesses he himself bore. and our sorrows he carried. And that word sorrow means pain, sickness and pain. Surely our grief, sickness, he himself bore, and our sorrows, pain, he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Next verse. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, I want you all to say it, we are healed. Now leave it up there on the screen, and I want you to say it, you out there that are reading it, say it like you believe it. We are healed. And the point is, we need to say it just as much as we say we are forgiven. We're talking about the full spectrum of salvation. Isn't this good news? Yes, he was made to be sin on our behalf, but I want you to go to Richard, Psalm 69:20, because there it shows that he was made to be sick on our behalf. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I love that song. By the way, while we're getting that up on the screen, I want you to know about these songs. Some has written in and say, you know, we're missing some of them old hymns. Okay, I'm going to get those in there too. That's a good old song. My, what a Savior we have. But anyway, let's get that on the screen before Pastor Peters gets off point. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. And what you find in that scripture is that Jesus was made sick for us as well as sin. He took our sins and he took our what? Sicknesses. The point is, there is more than just forgiveness of sin at the atonement. And communion, called in the early church the Eucharist, pertains to the atonement. There are three things concerning the atonement that Isaiah 53 talks about. But before we go there, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, because it points out three points of our being. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body," there's the three points, spirit, soul, and body, "be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You are a three-pointed being, you might say. Soul, spirit, and body. And the old preacher had to say, well, yeah, I think maybe there is more to this soul than just spirit. There is the spirit, there's the soul, and there is the body. And Jesus did a complete work at the cross. Complete. He did it all. Let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 5. Because there at the cross, we have healing of spirit, body, and soul. We're going to read Isaiah 53, 5. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed." Let's also bring that up on the screen now in the King James Version. I don't know how hard that will be. Not very hard. And as we do, remember, we are a three-pointed being. This is what it says in the King James. We'll analyze it here. "But he was wounded for our," there it is. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity." Now leave it right there. And I want you to notice that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now, this is the spiritual atonement at the cross. We are spirit, remember? Body and soul. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the spiritual part of the atonement. Then, let's read the next. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, that's the mental, keep it right there on the screen, but I want to say that chastisement of our peace is the mental atonement for the soul, which includes, the soul includes the will, the mind, and the emotions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the physical atonement. So there are the three parts of the atonement. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. That's the spiritual atonement. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's the mental atonement for the soul, which includes the mind, will, and emotions. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's the physical atonement. Now we want to go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Because we sang a song, and I know some of you might have thought it's just some kind of hillbilly song. It was really sung once by Buck Owens, but the devil has no more say here. I forget the title of the song, but we sang it, and you out there know it. Now, we're going to sing those songs next week, God willing, at least I think all three of them. But there is a devil. And the Bible says this concerning the work of Jesus on the cross. We read 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When sin entered into this world, it was the work of the devil. You can read that story in the book of Genesis. But when sin entered into this world, not only did death come. Now, the churches in the world today still know that the wages of sin, I think they do, the wages of sin is what? Death. And they know that that part of the atonement, they know that little part of the spectrum, what I call the spectrum of salvation, that Jesus died for us so we don't have to die, you see? But sin and death was not the only thing that entered into the world when Satan did his work there in the garden. Also, what entered into the world was shame. You know, they were ashamed of their nakedness. Mental anguish. What are we going to do? Disgrace, uncertainty of the future, and there's more. I could make a long list here, and I'll give you more as we go. Well, let me just put this on the list right now so you kind of get an idea where I'm going down the road in these sermons. But think about this. Poverty came too. I mean, they were walking and marching in tall cotton, grazing high clover, you might say. And suddenly they lost it all. They lost their shirts and their pants. They lost the covering, the light. They walked out of there with animal skins on. And they left. They lost the farm, you might say. Poverty came to them. Hard times. There's a whole lot of things that can be attributed as we call the work of the devil. But remember, the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, that's important to understand. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? Are you trying to tell me that maybe there's more to this spectrum of salvation? That maybe there's more than just, and I hate to say it that way, than just the forgiveness of sins? More that maybe pertains to health? More that pertains to even prosperity? Yes, I'm trying to say that. Am I getting the message across? Does it make sense? Is it connecting? Now make that connection to communion. Communion is, particularly the bread, important in regards to health. I was just thinking as I was driving down here from the Radio Ranch about, I guess I thought about it before I got on the drive, but I thought about it this morning, where the Canaanite woman who needed her daughter healed because she was oppressed by the devil, she said, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Jesus said it's not good to take the children's bread and give to the dogs, but just a crumb was enough to heal. I want you to know there's healing in communion. And if we start, if you'll listen, you out there, that some of you out there, you're listening to this communion thing. He's back on that thing. If you will listen, not just to this preacher, but to this preacher that preaches the Word of God as it teaches about communion, and start doing it, you're going to get benefits from communion that you never dreamed of before because you never heard of it before. You see what I'm saying? Forgive me of my excitement here. I know it's kind of an old bored thing here. It's only offering you health and prosperity, eternal life, the whole works. Oh. That's the way people are today. Oh God, give us a revival that they have flocked to the house of the Lord and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us go worship Him and praise Him and have soul food. That's what we need. Amen. When Jesus said, behold, thou art made whole in John 5:14, it was made whole spiritually, mentally, physically. The church world has lost that message. They supply Christian psychiatrists and psychologists for the mental, and hospitals and clinics and nutritional programs for the physical. Now, I want you to know something. I'm not putting down some of these things, particularly in the area of nutrition, but we are to a point right now. Now get this, don't be offended, because some of you are really into nutrition. But we are at a point now, things have gotten so bad that in so many cases, nutrition's not going to cut it. And medical science not going to cut it. I want us to go in the King James translation to 1 Timothy 6:20. This really is the best in the King James version, because we've been programmed for quite a few decades now of better living through what? Science. And this is what that scripture says about science. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and the opposition of science, falsely so called. Medical science. Oh boy, isn't that a dandy? Well, this is better living through medical science. You can have it, buddy. Because I don't know if you've noticed how people are living their better lives, from insulin shots to little portable oxygen tanks to little walkers, and on it goes. And the poison that's coming in to the system. We have got to go to a higher law. Now, we have, through the brainwashing of science, been boxed into a thinking. Well, what, we got to do this, we got to do that. Now, I'm trying to balance this thing. I tell you, if you are out at sea, and they figured this out a long time ago, and you're not getting enough vitamin C, you're going to start having symptoms called scurvy. I don't deny that. If you take what is needed, ascorbic acid or vitamin C, there's two different things, but either one will work to help counter the scurvy. Does that make sense? So I'm not putting down that, but what I'm saying is right now it is such that we are getting to a point, it don't make any difference what supplement you get, you're going to have to get to a higher law. And some of you that just take every piece of medication your doctors give you, like my dog, Hatchet, he's ready in the morning, whatever I throw in the dog bowl. What is it, doc? I was talking to a family the other day. They have a little child, and they have to have child check. We'll go in detail. The doctor say, are you giving the child? Are you giving him what he needs? And they'll say, yeah, we're giving him everything you say. And what are they doing? They're lying. They'll have to take that up with the Lord, okay? We'll not get off onto that. But that makes, well, it's working. They haven't given that boy a single solitary thing that doctor said to give him. And that's why he's getting well. That's the point. Now, back to the point I want to get at. There's a higher law, and that is this. You have spiritual laws. There's no doubt about it. But all the spiritual laws that we have were spoken into existence by God. Everything you see around you was, as far as I understand, now you tell me if I'm wrong, was spoken into existence. Isn't that right? Meaning this, and this is what I'm going to get at. There is a higher law, a spiritual law, that will override physical laws. And if you don't think that you need to break out of that box of thinking, scientifically, this can't be. Scientifically, it can't be that if you partake of this communion that it helps your health. If you don't break out of that box, they boxed you in because physical law, there is no explanation. But you're tapping into a spiritual law. Does that make sense? And the spiritual law, if you will use it by faith, will override any physical law there is. Well, I'm a little off point, but I think that point needed to be made. Let me get back on point. Calvary is an exchange. The answer to your sin problem is found at Calvary. The answer to your sick in the mind problem or mental illness, and boy, do we have that today. You know, that's a major, major drug industry section of sales, pharmacia, for mental illness. Problems, but it's in the cross as well. And if you're sick in the body, physical ailments, that too is found at the cross. The cross and the cross is tied to communion. You see, we come and we remember. But at the cross, there is an exchange. It's an exchange station. We come to the cross and we exchange our sins for his righteousness, because he took our sins upon him. Make sense? We come to the cross and we exchange our shame for his shame. The Bible says he went to the cross and he despised the shame. It was a shameful thing. At the cross, there's an exchange. You take his mental, he takes your mental anguish and you exchange it, your mental anguish, for peace. The world is in need of peace out there. And your physical sickness, you take to the cross and you exchange it for the health, because he took your sicknesses upon him. At Calvary, he destroyed the work of the devil. And it is by faith that you take advantage of these areas of exchange. And when you take communion, it is an act of faith. You've heard me preach to you and teach to you the difference between belief and faith. It's taken me a few years to figure that one out. No one says I was a fast learner. But at least when I get it, I'll try to teach it to you. And that is, yes, we are saved by believing. And we are saved by faithing. There's two different things. But basically, the simplify both of those two things is that faith is acting on what you believe. Do you believe that Jesus took your sins? Yes. Then when you faith that belief by being baptized for the remission of sins, your sins are washed away, as it says in 1 Peter 3:21. Does that make sense? Do you believe that he took your sicknesses upon him? Yes. Well, now, how do you faith that one? One of the ways is when you eat. This is an act of faith. You are faithing what you believe. Does that make sense? All right. Everything God did, provided what Jesus did at the cross, comes by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but people are not hearing this as a whole out there. But hear this. Healing, or the opposite of healing, is in communion. Health, or the opposite of health, is in communion. Strength, or the opposite of strength, is in communion. Life, or the opposite of life, is in communion. Your mental health, your sanity, or the lack thereof, is in communion. Let's go now with Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. It says, we read, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." Leave that there a second. If he does not judge the body rightly. Get that down. If he does not judge the body rightly. What is that? That's the body of Christ, which I'll show you here in a moment. We go on. "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Many do not understand that physical strength, physical health is in communion, and it's a life or death matter." Now, I sense that the Spirit has communicated to me this. Yes, you can partake of communion and it will bring these things on. But what is going on in the world today, the more sinful that the world gets, the more run down it gets, the sicker it gets. And these sicknesses can affect us who are in the world but not of the world. Does that make sense? But the Lord gave us something to protect us from all of that which the world doesn't have. It's called communion. But if we don't do it rightly, we end up being just as sick and weak as the world. Now, I want to say to you, there is something wrong when those in the body of Christ are as sick and weak as those that are outside the body. Now, don't be offended. I've been sick and weak and in need of prayer, and I wouldn't be preaching here today if some of you weren't out there praying for me. You know my story a little bit. It happens to us. And sometimes, as I go on in this series, you'll understand really what happens. The Bible talks about in the book of Acts, that I think is chapter 10, we'll get there later, but that Jesus went about doing good, healing those who were oppressed by the devil. That's what it says. Now, there's a greater and greater oppression coming in the world. But we should be entirely different in the world. And the world should be looking over there and seeing us as a different people. Even in the area of health and prosperity as our soul prospers. You see, God is opening things up to me. For example, I'll just get off point. You want me off point? You know, people like the off point points better than the on point points. But I believe, and I run this by my good Christian brother, Gene Applegate, my associate, I believe that Jesus hung on that cross, I hate to say it, it's shameful, naked. Because the children there in the garden became naked. He took their nakedness too. It was a shameful thing. He took their shame. But everything he had was taken from him, including that very expensive garment. In other words, poverty. He took the poverty that is ours. Now we're getting off into an area that's on down the road here. I'm off point, but I think it ties in with the soul food. Are you tying in with me, connecting? They have been giving out health and prosperity secrets that only work for them. They know it only works for them. And some of them, I don't even think, have a soul. So now you might be thinking about that. But there is a plan of health and prosperity that God has that works for us, and I think God's revealing it. But a lot of it, a whole lot of it, is tied to communion. And there's a whole lot more you need to learn about communion. I know it is, because some of you just kind of take it or leave it. I've watched you. Thank God he's patient with us all. Amen. Where am I at here on this thing? When I was a young Christian, I remember that I was asked, it was in a little church over in Montrose, Colorado. I was stationed over there at the time. And I was asked to do a communion talk. At that time, there were people seeing potential in me as a preacher and a speaker. And the danger of that is you've got to watch and not let a novice get too much of the pulpit, because the Bible says it's a danger to him. Well, I was a novice, but I got up and I can remember giving that communion talk. And it's one of those talks, I've given many of them, but I remember it quite well. I read the passage I just read, and I said that they were weak and they were sick spiritually. Why did I say that? Because I didn't understand the full spectrum of salvation. No, they were weak and sick. Period. And it had to do with communion. Make sense? There's much to communion. There are two elements in communion. There's the blood, which is represented by the fruit of the vine. There's the flesh, which is represented by unleavened bread. Spiritual healing comes through the blood. Physical healing of mind and body comes through the flesh, where he bore the stripes. The scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. When we partake of the bread, it is to put us in mind of Jesus taking the stripes before they crucified him. It was on his body he bore our sicknesses. It says in Matthew 8, verse 16, that he bore our sicknesses in his body. We read Matthew 6:18. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who... Excuse me, let's see. I want 8:16. Healed all in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So when we eat of that bread, it represents that fact. Now the scripture says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That's the King James. Often the emphasis is on the blood, and that's rightly so, but there needs to be an emphasis on the body for the strength of your body. The word eat and drink Those words are verbs. He is a pronoun. And the subject of the sentence, unworthily, is an adverb describing not the he, not the pronoun, but the verb. Paul was saying that he was partaking in an unworthy manner by not discerning the Lord's body. Does that make sense? You have to discern, and I want you to start doing it today as we partake, that this is his body. And you discern that this body took my physical infirmities and my mental infirmities. And then when you eat that, and we're going to start passing that out now, when you eat that body, that is, you eat it worthily when you judge or discern that that's what the body did. The blood was for our spiritual atonement. This for our mental and physical atonement. Now let me ask you, have I made my point? Because I'm at a point in the sermon, and I got a whole lot more I can give you, but I'm at a breaking point, and we do need to partake of communion. To get the most, the full benefit of communion, the healing of our body and mind, we must judge or discern this loaf represents his sacrificial body, which took the stripes, bore the disease, the body that had its capillaries burst and sweated blood with mental anguish. If we don't do it that way, the diseases and sicknesses in the world can affect us in a far greater way. And we become sick and weak and not a few sleep. Point is, communion is meant to be medicinal. And it is soul food. I prayed over this loaf and cup and over yours, you that hold your loaf and cup. Some of you do it through DVD church, some of it through the internet live streaming right now. But my prayer has no bounds. I prayed that you would prepare your heart to come to the Lord. But I prayed this. Well, let me just, and I think I want us to sing that song again, All for the Love of a King. But I'll go to a passage of Scripture here. Let me find it. Bear with me. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 18. 2 Chronicles 30, 18, if we can bring that up on the screen. Here we go. It says, about now, for a multitude of the people, even from many from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than prescribed. For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God. Now, I want everyone to leave that on the screen, but I want everyone that partakes today to know you are to prepare your heart to seek God before you partake. Everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. We are to purify ourselves. The Bible says, cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. But I realize that sometimes people come and they do this, and they haven't gone through all what we call, that was in the Old Testament, the purification rules. But in the New Testament, they haven't maybe made the proper purification preparations. But that's all right, because I've prayed over this loaf today, just like Hezekiah did. We go back to that scripture in Hezekiah. I don't know how hard that would be, the last one we pulled up. It goes on to say, the next verse, so the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. People, before we partake now, let's sing that song, because the song I wrote is designed to help you prepare your heart to seek the Lord. Let's sing it again. Richard will bring it up on the screen. I started loving. Well, the song is All for the Love of a King. I don't know how hard it is for Richard to do that on the spur of the moment, but I apologize if it is a little hard. And let's stand here, shall we, as we sing that song. And you all might just consider standing out there. Let's sing it together from our hearts. Well, today I'm so weary. Today I'm so blue. Sad. I know it was not the nails that held you to that cross. It was your love. And now we pledge our love to you. We give our hearts to you. And we remember you and what you did as we eat this loaf. We discern that you took not only our sins, but our diseases and our mental anguish. And now we eat. You may eat. And Heavenly Father, as it was precious in your sight, his blood, so it is in ours. And we drink this fruit of the vine that represents it in remembrance of it. Bless us as you do. Hallelujah. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are his. Bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. We're adjourned.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America World Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24/7 days a week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be back this way next week and hopes you will too.
My sin took that away. We are praying for America, our country that was free. So we bow down before you, Lord, restore our liberty. Bring us to our knees, let us repent, and then God save America. Again. We invade foreign lands, killing to get our way. Politicians grow wealthy as we struggle today. Drugs for all our elders and poison in our food. Illegals rising higher. Oh Lord, what can we do? We are praying for America, our country that was free. So we bow down before you, Lord, restore our liberty. Bring us to our knees, let us repent, and then God save America. Again, from the pulpit threats to the schools, the government to our homes. Across the airwaves and our hearts, sin is a throne. From the fathers to the mothers, the rebellious in this land, turn your hearts again to Jesus Christ. To him pray and repent. We are praying for America, our country that was free. So we bow down before you, Lord. Restore our liberty. Bring us to our knees. Let us repent and then God save America again.
Proud America of what? Of your herpes and venereal disease? Or the number of your devastating divorce decrees? Of your prison population, highest on the globe? Or the pile of babies to whom love was never known? Are you proud of your ever-rising, higher, unpayable national debt? Or of your continued lowering morals and increasing deficits? Of your crime rate of murder, rape, and pedophiles? Or of the homosexual perverts that walk up the wedding aisle? Of your mortgage foreclosures and loss of jobs? Or having the Ten Commandments outlawed? Be humble and bend your knee, remembering 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
Our country that was free. So we bow down before you, Lord. Restore our liberty. Bring us to our knees. Let us repent then. God save America again.
These final days with faith in living water. Jesus is living water. And with our armor on, we labor long and sing his song of water. Pressing on till the evil's dead and gone. God will have the final call and will wash us,
water, water,
wash us all
water, water,
with water. We rise and